We are here on a Tuesday. Today, Tuesday? I think it is. We're talking about MILF Manor tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Love in Paradise because last week there were some issues we couldn't all get together, but the finale was last week. Ooh, I'm out of breath. I just ran from upstairs. So, but yeah, we're going to talk about this MILF Manor episode. Actually, the last two MILF Manors, episode 9 and 10, because we weren't here last week either for MILF Manor. Cara's had some things going on. Dee Dee had some things going on. And we had to skip last week. But we can still talk about it tonight because there's a lot going on in MILF Manor. And I want to get a lot of insight. So, hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. Good.
All right, so I want to jump in on this MILF Manor because we missed last week, and I kind of feel like there's a lot that happened. Last night's episode was pretty crazy in itself, but I want to go back a week before because we didn't commence and discuss that episode either because Lynette actually did leave the house, and I want to talk about Anthony, Rebecca, and the Connor and Kelly and all of this like triangle mess of. They're calling Rebecca a homie hopper, which is basically a cooler way of saying she's a hoe. But I want to get your input on that because the purpose of going in the house, like if you watch The Bachelor, if you watch Love Island, if you watch any of the other dating shows, they put a whole bunch of random people together and you're supposed to figure out if you connect with any of those people, and they're kind of attacking Rebecca for getting to know people. So what I want to ask you, is there a difference between getting to know people and straddling them in a hot tub? Because that's kind of where Kelly is coming from. Kelly is like, you can get to know everybody here without straddling them and sticking your tongue in their mouth. So like, how do you guys feel? Do you think that Rebecca is kind of crossing any lines, or do you think Rebecca is just what she came here to do?
So we all know how I feel about Rebecca. Yes, she's a homie hopper. Yuck.
But is it okay that she's trying to get to... No?
She's an afterthought. I'm so pissed at her after Lynette left. I'm just... No.
Well, I think what really gets to people is Rebecca doesn't take any responsibility when people like come to her and say, hey, you know, that we had a connection or whatever, and she's just like, oh, I don't care. I'm not a part of that. I'm not that type of person. She doesn't really take any responsibility. And it is true, Lynette left because Anthony was dealing with her. And again, I don't like to put all the blame on Rebecca because Anthony was fully, a willing party and you know, pursuing Rebecca knowing that he had a strong connection with Lynette. So I don't want to put any like full blame on one or the other because I also know that there's double standards. You know, men are allowed to outweigh their options, right? So I don't want to make it seem like Rebecca's doing anything that a man is allowed to do, you know? Right. Like, so I don't.
But Anthony had such a good thing going with Lynette, and just like Joey said, she's a wholesome, good woman looking to settle down to be with the right man. And Anthony gave her the impression that he was doing the same. And then Rebecca comes in, the first fun thing that comes in, he throws that all away. And she's devastated and she goes home. She was the truest, most genuine person there. And so to see her leave, it just made me despise Rebecca even more.
But can we blame Rebecca for that? Or do we have to blame Anthony too, right? Because I feel like Anthony, he definitely didn't
100%. I am not taking any blame off of Anthony. Screw that guy.
I hate Anthony to the fact that he let a good woman. And you know what? I want to also veer off on subject a tad bit because this also happened with Crystal and Stacy, right?
Yep.
Stacy had the audacity to ask out Shauna in front of Crystal. And you know, Crystal has been pretty loyal and pretty vocal that she's feeling Stacy. She's been, I kind of say she's chasing after him like a little schoolgirl in the playground. Like, she's literally just been chasing after him, begging him for his attention, and he's ignoring her. And then the fact that he got turned down by Shauna, now he's entertaining Crystal. And that makes me even more mad because she's not an option. You know, if she wasn't your number one priority, don't make her priority number seven. You know, like, I hate the fact that now that he knows that Shauna is not interested, he's like, well, I guess I can deal with Crystal now. That's what really pissed me off. Because I was like, if you don't like her, if you're not feeling that connection, just say, hey, you like me, but I don't like you in the same way. Let's move on and pursue other options. But the fact that he's leading her on and dragging her along, he's like, oh, no, I like you. I just ignore your existence all
except
day.
Except for he's never really given her the thought that he wants to be exclusive with her. He's been straight up from the beginning. He's like, there's just kind of one of those things, you know, I'm terrified after my divorce. I don't know that I really like him. And the second that he has someone, you know, he's veering up.
I think he's so, giving off friend vibes. Mm-hmm. The friend vibes. Vibes like, hey, we're cool, or maybe a friends with benefit vibe. I didn't want to interrupt with the whole Anthony and Rebecca thing, but Rebecca's a twat, yep. In my opinion. Like, she's a yes. Hot potato. She'll go from, like, one person to the next. I'm bored, next, I'm bored, next. I don't blame her. She needs to make a name for herself when she, like, she first got in, obviously, but there's a way to do that respectfully and morally. As a woman, you should respect other women as well. So, and I love Lynette, and basically I caught up on MILF Manor within the whole week, the whole weekend. So I just got to see it from a fresh point of view. So, but that's my opinion on that, on both couples.
Yeah.
Hold on, who just said that? Rebecca is the definition of thirsty. Okay, so Donna said that in the comments. See, Rebecca reminds me, when I was in college, there were girls who liked to be the center of attention, who liked to be popular. So they would go to the party and they would make out with every dude there. And and she's giving me those center of attention vibes, where she just wants every guy to be interested in her.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like that's kind of how she did. Because did you notice when Fletcher and his uncle came into the house, she was the first one to go and introduce herself. She just wanted to always be that person that everybody was paying attention to. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it is difficult when there were built connections before she got there, and she's kind of just shitting all over those connections because she's straddling people in the hot tub and she's kissing people and she's got Lynette crying. And I don't think that she realized what she was doing, you know. And I think in her mind, she was innocently just flirting with the guys, right? I feel like that's kind of how Rebecca feels. She's like, well, there's nothing wrong with being a flirt. And I think that it was destroying the house from the inside. Things were balanced. And then when she came in, it all started to fall apart. And I can't blame it fully on her. The guys were also entertaining her, right? So, like, it's not just Rebecca. But it showed that there weren't as strong connections as the women thought they had.
But what's her face that came in with her? I don't know why I can't remember her name. What is it?
Shauna.
Okay. So Shauna comes in with her. She locates Joey. She actually picks someone. She finds out who's not in a relationship. And she pursues that. And that's that. She's not entertaining anybody else. She shot Stacey down. She found someone that wasn't in a kerfunkel, if you will. And she did it right. Rebecca's doing everything wrong. Everything wrong.
I mean, I get where she's coming from, where she's like, I don't have to, like, cater to your connections, you know, because if the connection was strong enough, you know, she shouldn't be able to infiltrate that connection. And I kind of feel like that's how she feels. She's like, well, if it was a really strong connection and you really had something, I wouldn't matter because that person wouldn't entertain me. But you have to remember, these are a bunch of men in a house full of beautiful women. Right? And nobody knows each other from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So nobody feels that they're committed to anyone. So everybody feels that they can just openly make out and bite butts and, you know, whatever they want to do in this house. So
yeah.
I think that the maturity level between the men and women are really showing, because the women, for the most part, even Kelly, even Disco Mommy, is a little more mature when it comes to entering relationships and building connections. Because even Kelly, she's like, yeah, I'll come in the house and I'll play truth or dare and I'll act like I'm loose, right? But I also have respect and loyalty towards the other women in the house. Like, if she knows that Christina has a connection, or if she knows that Kelly Mack has a connection, she respected those connections. And I think that's the difference between Rebecca and the rest of the women. She just doesn't respect any of the other women in the house, which is pretty sad.
Rebecca needs to be classy, not trashy. And all the other girls are showing they do have some. I already forgot it already. But she came in with full class, like, no, I see where this is going. I don't want to cause any feuds or tensions. And she went with Joey. And I think Joey has more of a common sense and more of a brain than Anthony does. Sorry to say, but he does. He thinks with his brain, not with his below the belt parts.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Joey, I think Shauna, it's interesting that nobody remembers Shauna's name, because when she was, they showed her in this episode, I forgot about her.
Yeah.
You know who else I do that with? Sean, Darren's son. I forget about Sean. He's like, trying to build a connection with Christina, and I kind of feel like he's falling out of the attention, like eye level of everything, because he's there, but he's not. And that's kind of how Shauna is too in the house. She's there, but she's not. That's how, Stacy's son was before they eliminated him. He was like there, but he wasn't really communicating. He wasn't building any connection with anyone. And I think that's probably what's going to happen with Shauna. She's kind of just fallen below the wayside. She's not really trying. You know, we've known from season one and season two, the least you connect with people, the more likely they're going to kick you out of the house. You know, like, you got to have a connection with somebody. You can't just be there on vacation and having drinks and laying out in the sun. They want you to build something with someone. It's at the end of the season, they're going to try to get people to make a decision to stay together, which we know last season, it didn't work, but they did. You had to have at least one person you were going to write a letter to by the last episode, and then they had to either reject you or keep you around.
Yeah. I agree. They're just not dramatic enough for attention.
Right? She's beautiful. She looks super young, but she's probably too mature for this situation.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like she's not going to chase after a bunch of men. She's not going to put herself out there. She's not going to hoe around the manor. And, you know, to us, she's boring, but I respect her for that too, you know? She's
absolutely.
She's a mom, and she's professional, she's educated, and she's behaving that way. And then we got Rebecca running around straddling everybody in the hot tub. And it's like, you got to applaud the loyalty and respect and maturity of some of the women, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, so Barbie and Chris were having a really good connection last season. Remember, we saw this date they were on. They went out together, and it spilled over into this episode. But then there was a challenge. It was a... What did they call it? I can't remember the challenge, but it was whoever, sons against DILFs, and it was What a Woman Wants. Oh, yeah, because there was that movie, What Women Want. I can't remember, George Clooney movie, I believe. And it was basically based on What Women Want. And they asked these questions, and the dads won, and then the sons ended up having to clean the house. But the thing that came up that tore Barbie and Chris apart was Barbie said that she's looking for a man that is going to take care of her, take her shopping and clean the house, which I don't think is a lot to ask. I think in 2024, you know, I think in relationships, you have to spoil each other, right? Like women take men out for their birthdays and women and men take women out for their birthdays and you celebrate, you do things for each other. And Chris kind of took it as, that's not me. I'm not that person. I'm not the person to just hand her money so she can go spend thousands of dollars. And I feel like he shut down. And now it kind of looks like Barbie's packing her stuff and she's ready to go too. So I'm worried that we're going to lose another MILF, because at this point, we've got way more dudes than we have women, right? Like, the women are dropping off like flies and they keep adding more men. And I'm like, well, who's going to end up building a connection? It's just going to be one big cat fight at this point.
So Chris is just a crybaby, first and foremost. He's looking at this like, I will never make that kind of money. When, excuse me. He doesn't even realize that what she's asking for is simple. She's not asking for a $5,000 shopping spree. She's asking for someone to stay home, clean the house, watch the kids, so she can go get her nails done or whatever. But he's automatically going, oh my God, she's a gold digger. He's just being a crybaby bitch. That's all there is to it.
But I've always felt in relationships, men have to be the ones to be a little more generous. It's almost like nature of being a man. Like, you take a woman out, you're going to buy her dinner because you want to make a good impression. You want to show her that, hey, I could take you into my life and take care of you, and you wouldn't have to worry about taking care of me. I'm going to take care of you. That's part of the courting process. So the fact that he's like, she wants money. I mean, I don't think she's going into any relationship looking for a man to take care of her. She made it very clear that she's a single mom. She's taking care of herself, her children, her mother, her family. She's always been the one paying for everybody. She would love to have a man to come in and sweep her off her feet a couple times a month.
Yep.
And I don't think that's asking a lot, right? Like, in any relationship, I think it goes both ways. You know, if it's Father's Day or a birthday, the woman takes the man out and makes him feel special, and then it's reciprocated. But I do think the man should do it more, because women are usually doing a lot more work that is unthanked and unappreciated than men are. Men are always going to work and paying bills, and it's very appreciated, and they know how much it's appreciated, and people say it every single day. But I think women definitely need to be shown a little bit more, hey, I appreciate all the work that you're doing, unpaid work, right? Because women are doing work that they're not even getting paid to do. They're just doing it because they love you. And I think it's important. And I think, like you said, he's a big baby. And honestly, he's 27 years old. If he's never going to be able to have the money to take a woman out shopping, is he ever going to get a serious relationship? I don't know very many women that are looking for a man who can never do anything for them, no matter what. She always has to be the one to pay. Like, who's looking for that?
Right. I think he took it out of context. Like, oh, this is what she wants. And plus, he's probably been in a relationship like that before. Mm. And I think that that's maybe why, from his experience, like I'm just thinking, like, from his personal perspective as well, like, oh, well, this is what she said, but this is what she meant in his past relationships, right? So, and, like, I understand, like, income for him is not a consistent, right? So he can't guarantee her exactly everything, like he said, but at the same time, he's probably been with somebody who wanted that $5,000 purse, and she expected, and that person expected it at all the time.
Ah, okay. So it's like a personal experience, or a kind of like a personal trauma. So he was in that situation. I mean, that can be scary. You know, I have friends that are dating men and they expect trips. Like, I have a friend specifically, she was just in Greece for like a month. They were in Italy before that. Like, she has high expectations, right? But she's a beauty queen. She's literally in the Miss Florida pageant right now. But she has very high expectations. And Barbie wasn't asking for that. She wasn't saying, fly me to Greece for a month. She wasn't saying, buy me a Ferrari. She was like, I would love to take, you know, your card and go buy a dress to wear out with you. You know, I don't think that she was asking for a lot. And I think women need to put those expectations out there. You know, I think men need to know that ahead of time. And she might not feel this way, but this might be a really good way to break this off early before she got too many deep feelings for him. Because this was going to come out at some point, better now than a year or two later. And she realized that she wasted a year or two of her life on somebody who was never going to conform to who she wanted to be.
Right. Yeah, I saw it coming. I knew they weren't going to make it.
What did y'all think of the new guys, Fletcher and his uncle? I want to say his name is Dan. Fletcher and Dan, I believe. What did y'all think? Dan is 59. He's the oldest guy in the house.
They're both yuck.
Really? So absolutely nothing from you? Nothing? No?
Yeah.
How do you feel, Gina? Were you interested? Not interested?
Not interested. There's more of a sausage fest in there than anything at this point in time, with, like, girls dropping like flies. So,
yeah.
It's just...
I agree.
Really, another uncle and nephew situation? Like, we already have that. Let's, like, give me something else that's more entertaining than that. But I think they needed just the filler, because everyone's kind of, well, Rebecca's after everybody. We all know that already. But, like, everyone else has their person or whatnot. So, except for, oh, what's her face? Like, the two other girls, I forgot their names, and I don't have anything written down.
Shauna and Crystal are kind of the ones that aren't really attached to anyone, right?
Exactly. So then, just to even out the playing field type of thing like that. But again, it's TLC, so TLC.
I do feel like
he does.
Yeah. I feel like they kind of made up the rules as they went, and I think that as they were filming, I think they realized they didn't have the level of drama that they needed, and I think that's why they removed some of the guys. They're adding more guys. They're adding more girls mid-season. I think they realized that the drama level wasn't enough. So yeah. I think they keep adding new people. As soon as there's a balance in the house, I've noticed they're adding more girls. They're adding more guys. They're doing a challenge where somebody might get sent home. You know, they're trying to switch it up. And I think last season was just much smoother. Yeah. You know, there was constant drama. There was constant conflict. There was constant issues. And then this season, it's more of they're struggling to keep, you know, the house in chaos, you know. And I feel like they did a good job with Rebecca. We're bringing Rebecca in was a really good job to make it a little more chaotic, you know, because the women have all basically joined forces against the homie hopper of the house, right? You know, and at first when I was watching it last week, I was against the homie hopper statement because I was like, no, she's just getting to know everybody. And then I was talking to some friends and they were like, okay, look, let's put you in the situation. Say you've been talking to a girl for 2 weeks and, you know, you think things are going well and then y'all are, you know, all in a resort and then some new guys come into the resort and then she doesn't even notice you anymore. And I'm like, okay, yeah, if you put me in the situation, I will be a little pissed off because 2 weeks is still time, right? Like, yeah, you didn't get to know them over years or you didn't get to know them over a long period of time, but 2 weeks is still a long time where people are making it seem like you're the only person that they're looking at. And then you wake up the next day and they're literally straddling another person. You know, like it is hard.
2 weeks are around the clock. So that's equivalent to like 2 months in real time. So living in the house with these people. It's not that you talk to them for, you know, 2 hours a day for a course of 2 weeks. You're physically living and building a connection with these people 24/7. So
that makes so much sense. Because, yeah, a normal date's 3 hours long.
Right.
These people are living, eating breakfast, using the bathroom in the same bathroom. This is much more intimate. You're right. They're sitting in the back. They're going in the hot tub. You know, you might do those things that they've done in 2 weeks over a 3 month period of dating.
Yeah.
So that actually makes sense because you can't look at it as 14 days. You have to look at it as, well, normally people will go out to eat and then have drinks, then go home and sleep in separate places and might not even text each other for a few days. Like this is a more intimate situation. Oh, so it looks like a family member or friend is going to be coming in the next episode. So we saw Kelly's son, Joey. We saw Barbie brought, I think, her daughter. So how do y'all feel? Because I know in season one, they brought the exes of the MILFs last season.
I think it's awesome. If they're going to bring in the sons and now they bring in the daughters and the daughters can go after the men, I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Oh my God, that will be so bad. That's the
drama that we need.
Yeah, can you imagine the daughter coming in and stealing the man that the mom has been building this connection with?
We know what's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. It's TLC. They'll do it. Like, they'll do that.
And even better, the daughter is like the upgraded version of the mom, right? Because if the mom is beautiful, the daughter is beautiful, obviously, because she came from the mom. So it's like adding that upgraded version of what you already have, which is even more unfair, right? Like, it's completely unfair. I feel like the nephew and uncle thing, BS, right? Because let me just be realistic. My sister had her first kid when she was 15 years old. So I grew up, I was like 9 or 10. So like, I grew actually, yeah, like 9 or 10. And I grew up with, no, maybe a little like 8 or 9. So I grew up with her kids. So like my nephews and nieces, we basically were brothers and sisters.
Right.
So like it's not like me hanging with my dad, you know, like it was, our connection is a little different. Like I've went out and hung out with my nephews and nieces, like as friends, because we literally grew up together. We were literally, you know, when I was changing their diapers, when they got older, they literally were around me all the time. So I think it's such BS that they let these nephews and uncles come in the house, because it's an unfair advantage when you bring somebody in with their actual father, have them do a strip tease for their father and women in the room. Like, it's completely unfair, right? Like, and I think that it's an unfair advantage for these guys because the uncle and nephew are working with each other. And I feel like the fathers and sons are looking out for each other more. So yeah. Like, cause I noticed that Joey's like, I wish my dad wouldn't talk to more than one woman. Like, they're looking out for each other more. And I feel like the nephew and the uncles are like, get them, whatever you want to do, get her. I don't care if you hurt her feelings, do what you want. They're more on a friendly level. So I feel like it's just an unfair advantage between the different dynamics.
I agree. I think it's wrong.
Yeah, I disagree fully on that. And I think that, so I want to talk about the finale of Love in Paradise because we weren't able to get together last week. So we know that Kyle, he was in here earlier.
Oh, Kyle, God. And Kyle's still here because I need him to exit. My skin is crawling.
He's not here. Good. He's not here. So Kyle and Annie broke up, and he made this really weird accusation that if Annie was pregnant, the child would belong to her ex, who I guess, actually, he DM'd me the other day, and he said that the ex and Annie had sex the day that he was there.
He's so full of shit.
So I don't know, like,
yeah,
because asked, I was like, how would it be possible that the child would be the ex's or yours? And he was like, oh no, they were having sex right before I got there. Even when I was there, they were still having sex. And he's like, I just thought that she was trying to pin the baby on me. But I was like, well, explain to me what the benefit would be of her pinning the baby on you versus the ex who she knows gets along with and actually likes.
Yep.
Like, explain to me what the benefit would her for her would be. And she would also be embarrassed, you know, that she has a child with you after just meeting you after a couple of days. Like, what would that make a difference for? Why would she go out of her way to pin a baby on you on TV? Like, I don't understand the logic.
But also, she contacted him for the sperm donation. That's how they met.
Right.
So he went into it thinking he was going to meet her and knock her up. So I don't know why he's so butthurt about it. Probably because she's the only female that ever actually, for whatever reason, was a wee bit attracted to him,
for a very, very small amount of time. It only took her less than 3 days to realize that this was a lapse in judgment. And she realized
that's about 71 and a half hours too long.
Yeah.
That's just disgusting.
Did you see him smelling his socks in the episode? He was like, these don't smell too bad. I've only worn them a few days. It's like, you pack a pair of socks for each day, Kyle. You don't wear the same socks or underwear multiple times. Or, and if you do, wherever you're staying, they usually have a washing machine. It costs like $1. You just wash the stuff. Like, why is he so weird?
He's not just weird. He's disgusting. He's a gross, vile.
I haven't watched this show yet, but it does sound like a dumpster fire, to be perfectly honest. Like,
this is just, oh my gosh, that's just one couple. You would have to, like, this, you have to watch it. I don't want to ruin too much of it for you, because I want to talk about, see, I don't know if you want to hop off. I don't know if you want to hop off, because we're going to talk about it if you are going to watch it, because this was just one couple of, like, a complete dumpster fire of people.
Oh, Lord.
People have been asking, like, where did they find these people? Because,
I've read that. I'm going to let you guys go so I can actually watch it, and then we'll talk. I'll message you what my thoughts are about that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks so much for joining, Gina. We're going to finish up with this Love and Paradise chat. And then, let me know your thoughts, too.
I will. I hope you guys have a happy, if I don't talk to you guys, have a happy 4th of July.
Thank you too.
My Canada Day has passed. Mine was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.
Yeah, so Alex and Adriana broke up, and for me, it was pretty obvious, right? Like, and I think that we saw it coming, because we had already discussed before the finale that we didn't think anybody was going to actually make it into another longer lasting relationship. Right. I thought it was going to all end. And, you know, Alex had her little realization that, you know, she was there chasing after a relationship that never was. You know, it was vacation fling. And, you know, and Sean and Aaliyah still were together after the last episode, and they did this little consultation where she wants to get the work done. I'm assuming it's done already, because it would have been cheaper to do it over there because she's here now. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Aaliyah and Sean were caught in LAX airport on video filming. They did three different entrance filmings for, I'm assuming, 90 Day Fiancé. I don't know if they're, because it couldn't be Love in Paradise because they're here. So I'm assuming it's 90 Day Fiancé for the K-1. How do you feel? Are you surprised? Do you think it's going to work? Do you think that she's just here for the money? Like, what are your thoughts?
I am surprised she's here. I absolutely didn't call that. I said none of the couples were going to make it. So the fact that she's here blows my mind. Mm-hmm. However, watching the video of her getting here was so, it ruined so much for me. Like,
really?
Yeah, because, you know, you watch them meet at the airport, and everything's, that's like one of our favorite parts, right?
Yeah.
When we're meeting people. Well, when she comes in and they make her film it three freaking times, where's the genuity of that? None of it is, it's like, it is so rehearsed. It ruined the whole thing.
I learned back when, do you remember when Asuelo first got here from Samoa, and he did the traditional Samoan dance at the airport. I actually learned from Reddit that that was filmed like 4 or 5 times before they got the tape that they wanted. So I try to stay off of Reddit because they do ruin the authenticity of the show. And also when Rob did a dance for Sophie at the LAX airport as well, I saw a video where they filmed that like 3 or 4 times. And it's funny because the one that they used wasn't great. Like, I was like, so this was the best out of like 7 takes? Because I was like, this was like the worst. And I hate watching Reddit where people actually take the live videos and they show them filming and stuff. Because remember we saw that video of Gino and Jasmine and they were at that juice bar and they were fighting outside. It does ruin the authenticity of the show. And we were waiting and waiting. We finally saw that scene and you're like, damn, social media really has made watching reality TV obsolete.
Right.
Because we want to watch it unfold. And unfortunately, with everybody having a 15 megapixel camera in their phone, everybody is ruining everything. They see something, they record it, they post it, and now we know.
And now everything filming is better than actual TLC.
Yeah, because we actually get a realistic view of what's going on. TLC only gives us a one-dimensional frame.
Yeah.
At least the people filming it, they don't care about, you know, the angles. They give you what you get. So a lot of those, it's even more telling.
Right.
You know, from those videos, because you're like, oh, this isn't even what I thought it was. Like, we saw that where she was yelling at him at the juice bar. It wasn't even that serious. That was all planned because she actually threw a juice at him and hit him with it. Like, it's all part of the show, right? And I hate that. I really wish that people would leave social media be. And I think, or reality TV be, I think social media has ruined a lot of things for a lot of people, right? Like, I know it has its positives, but I think movies, I remember I was on social media the other day and somebody was talking about a movie I haven't seen yet. And I was like, why do y'all gotta ruin everything? Like, why do y'all have to, who died, who didn't? Like, please, just leave something to yourself, please.
Right. Now, I was very surprised that she's actually here. I'm a little sad that we're going to see them again. Not going to lie. They were very boring, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot of nothing. And one comment that she made was that really bothered me was, I hope I get to America soon because I hope my fiance isn't sleeping with his friend. So I need to be in America. If that's even a thing, you need to not be engaged to said person. Yeah. It's disgusting.
That's how Sarper is with Shekinah and vice versa. They have to be there to watch the person to make sure that they're not doing anything they shouldn't. Like, if you need to be there to watch them, like, they're not a child or an animal that you need to watch them super. Like, if you don't have eyes on them, if you can't predict what they're not going to do, don't be with them, right? Like, there's no reason why you need to be there to supervise your spouse to make sure that they're not banging anyone. And it's probably true that he is. And Sean announced in the finale that he and Aaliyah had sex, which was the first time since he had been on the trip and he was leaving. So what do you think that's about? He waited till like the last day to be intimate with her. What is that about? Does he actually want to be intimate with her? Like, I'm confused.
No, and he said, and it was different. Well, even if she wasn't transitioning, it would still be different because it's been how long since you guys have been together? You've slept with...
It had been like 7 or 8 months since he had saw her when he got there.
Right. And you slept with a bunch of other people in the meantime. So of course it's different. Do you even remember the last time you slept together?
And so right. And the last time she was identifying as a man.
Yeah.
So of course it's different. Remember, you're basically sleeping with a woman now. Just not the full parts, but her demeanor, the way that she moves, anything is going to be more feminine than it was the last time when you were together. Yeah. I swear, I think that Sean is with her for like partnership or companionship, but he separates the sexual or the intimacy from that. I think that he likes her company, and I think he likes intimacy with the friend. But I think that
they're 40 years apart, so there's going to be a lot of differences. A lot.
What do you think they even have in common to start with, other than Sean has a lot of money? Because that's what I was thinking of before, because I was like, watching them interact, it does look like Aaliyah's hanging out with her grandpa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see a lot of connection. Like, it's funny because when Jenny and Submit hang out, I can tell that they love each other.
Absolutely.
It's not like Submit's playing video games and Jenny is, like, got her reading glasses on reading a book. They literally do the same things together. Like, yeah. I'm trying to figure out what Sean and Aaliyah have in common. What do they do that connect them other than Sean has a bunch of money from working his whole life?
He has hair and she likes hair. That's all I could put together.
The amount of wigs and weave that he brought her was just insanity to me.
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, I don't know if I like the way, you know, her transitioning. So let me just buy her like 47 wigs.
Right.
So she could look. And he was the reason why she did it in the first place, because they went to a pride event and he convinced her to dress up as a drag. And now she realized this isn't just a dress up thing. This is me. And now he's even more fueling the fire by buying her as many wigs and weaves as possible. Oh my gosh. I was Googling those. Did you know that there are wigs and weaves that go for like over $2,000 or $3,000? I think we were talking about this with Jasmine.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Jasmine was mad that Gina only spent $300 on, you know.
That's a lot. Section.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So it was $300 for a section of hair, and she wanted 10 sections. So that would have made $3,000 just for
grand.
That one. Yeah.
That's unfathomable to me. I literally willingly shaved my head because I don't like hair. I don't like it. So the fact that people pay so much money to do the opposite of what I want, you know, it's just insane. And I guess there's different kinds. I was looking and there's like human hair, there was one that said it was like synthetic hair, there's like all these different options. And it killed me when I saw one of the wigs was like $2,500.
Go look at Miona's hair pieces.
Are they expensive?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I gotta go look at Miona Beauty now. And you know what, she sells lots of those.
Yeah.
So, and I it's really interesting because I was on X or Twitter and a lot of women were like, oh yeah, you would be surprised how many women have like hair pieces or weaves in their hair. And they look so real. I was watching some of Miona Beauty or Miona's reels where she puts them in. You really can't tell. It's like really, really crazy. And it makes me, now when I go out and I look at women out in public, I'm thinking like, is she wearing like a wig? Like, now I can't tell the difference. So now I'm wondering because I never thought that before.
Blonde Kelly on MILF Manor has her weave in.
So those are the pieces, right? Like her hair is mixed in with it. Yeah, that's what I was seeing online. Those are like the popular ones. That's what Jasmine does.
Yeah.
She gets the long pieces that you like, I don't know, comb in. I don't know what they just sew in. I don't know what they do.
They're just little clips. You lift up your hair, you clip them in, and you pull your hair down.
Yeah. And it looks so real. Yeah. It's crazy to me. But yeah, so Sean is the reason.
If you go to like a beauty salon, they sew them in. So it lasts longer, but they're more expensive, obviously.
Oh, the Diva Speak says, can you imagine the price of Beyonce's weaves and wigs?
Yeah,
I cannot. Because you know what?
If you had Beyonce's bank account, it wouldn't matter.
The funny part is, I didn't even realize that she had weaves and wigs until I was on X and Twitter, and I saw people post pictures of how she would wear her hair short and really, really long, and then they would show like, oh, this is this type of weave, that type of weave. I didn't even realize that. They look so real to me, you know, like, and I guess that's...
I have to say, Darcy and Stacey have the worst extensions you can possibly have.
But is that because they keep dyeing their hair? Because even their real hair doesn't look real. And I think it's because they bleach it, right? Isn't that what happens if you bleach your hair?
Well, I'm sure, but they keep buying new extensions. But literally every single time they show the back of their head or whatever, you can see the clips. Like, at least learn how to put them in right.
Interesting.
At least learn how to put them in right.
Well, the one season, I think they were just wearing full-on wigs. You remember when they were in, like, the pink bodysuits for the cover of the one season? I think those were just a full-on wig because they gave, like, Sophie vibes.
Yeah.
They didn't even look right on their head. They looked, because I was like, that doesn't look right. You know, like, even as, for me, I was like, that doesn't look right. It doesn't match the shape of your head. You know, it gave me Sophie 90 Day Fiancé season vibes. I was like, that's not good, you know. But for women who carry like $5,000 purses and they have these Hermes bracelets that cost $10,000, you would think they would have the best weaves out there. Yeah. You would think. You're like Beyonce. Like, I could never point out anywhere in her head that doesn't look like it grew from her head, because that's what money looks like. Money yeah. looks just like that. If you have enough money in your pocket, you can fool anyone.
Yep. 100%.
So we're going to talk more about, well, oh, wait, there was one other person on Love in Paradise, Luke and Medellin, before we finish up. So he said that he was going to go back to the U.S. for a couple weeks, but he also said that he's lying. He actually doesn't know how he will be able to afford to come back within a couple of weeks. He's hoping that his business pans out, which are those ugly-ass sunglasses. Oh, did you see the screenshots where he was selling the sunglasses for like $300, $500, and $700?
If that's not, absurd.
I gotta send it to you. He has a website. $299 was the cheapest. Then there was $599. Then I think there was $799. We're talking hundreds, not dollars. And those were the sunglasses that he was trying to peddle on the show. So I'm gonna go ahead and say nobody bought them. I don't know that, but I'm just gonna go ahead and say he's probably not back in Colombia, because he said that he didn't have any source of income other than that Airbnb. Yeah. And actually, Madeline, she was smart, too. She was like, I told him I would sign the prenup, but that's only if he comes back here in 2 weeks. So he's not coming back in 2 weeks. So I'm going to go ahead and say they're still together, because they were still selling their $100,000 trip thing or whatever. They're still together, but I'm going to go ahead and say he's probably still in the U.S., right? I don't think he's back in Colombia.
I don't think they're going to make it at all.
Do you think that he's going to go back? Because she has no interest in coming here. So he would have to go back.
He has an apartment there, so they're gonna be fuck buddies they're gonna be friends with benefits, and that'll be that.
Yeah, do you think they'll film again? Because with him going back to Colombia, he could do another season of Love in Paradise. It's possible.
No.
I think they probably got backlash from that, because you know when people found those pictures of them from like 4 or 5 years ago, and then they did the math. And that I think that they're treading on a certain line that they don't ever want to tread on. And I think they're probably going to try to avoid that.
Yes, 100%. But also, they got a lot of backlash from bringing Scott to two different seasons from Love in Paradise.
Well, I realize
Scott's his own show, but...
Scott was not the beginning of it. The backlash started when they kept putting Danielle back on Love in Paradise. She was on there for like 2 seasons. Then they put her on Happily Ever After, and it didn't go well. And not very many people made it 2 seasons. I think Valentine and Carlos made it 2 seasons. Danielle and Johan made it 2 seasons. Not a lot of people make it 2 seasons on Love in Paradise, I've noticed. Like, it doesn't really happen.
They're so cringe. Everything is so cringe about them that I think when they do 2 seasons, it's what the people want, what the feedback. Nobody wants to listen to Nicole 2.0 or Tim 2.0. Nobody wants to listen to that. We already have these people, just in different formats.
So, well, I'm glad that we didn't get Nicole and her mom back, but we, like you said, we got her in a different form. We got her in the form of Medellin. And it was pretty identical. If you close your eyes, it's the same person, right? If you just close your eyes, it was the same. Even if you squint a little bit, it was the same person. We still had Nicole again, and nobody wanted that. We definitely didn't want her mom back.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that they need to be a little better with casting. Like, I think on Twitter, everybody said this season was a bust all the way around. They said that it was hard to get through. There was no real drama. And some people just said that they watched one episode and just stopped. That was what I got a lot of feedback of.
It was definitely awful. I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm excited about this. Oh, one more thing. I finally know there's 3 more episodes in Happily Ever After. Yeah, so we have 3 more weeks of regular episodes, and then we're going into the 3-part tell-all. And they did show us a glimpse of this big-ass mansion that they put the couples in the night before, or the day before the tell-all was aired, which that's probably going to be the most drama that we're going to get, because everybody, like Big Ed, everybody's going to be there to cause problems with each other. So I'm kind of excited to see that, because we kind of got that with that one season. I think it was Happily Ever After, where they put them all in the same hotel And then they were at the bar, and then Ed was telling people off, and Kim told Ed to go to hell. Yeah, there's some drama there. So I feel like putting them in the house is a little better, because then they can not escape each other, so they have to keep fighting. The fight can't, because you know, if you sick of somebody at the bar, you just leave the bar and go to your room. But if your room is in the same house and that person's sleeping in the room next to you, the fight might continue. So I feel like that might, oh wait, Donna says they stole that idea from Statler. Right, Statler is the creator of that idea, because she created Big Brother in the real world.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where that started. So I think she predates both of those shows. But whatever, Statler, whatever you want to believe, right?
I don't know. I'm glad.
Shout out to Armando.
I cannot freaking wait for the tell-all. I know it's gonna be a ways.
We got three more episodes, but I'm just glad that there's an end in sight, right? It's been a lot. So, and we're jumping into The Other Way, which looks pretty promising. We haven't met everybody, but it looks pretty promising. So, we're going to wrap up tonight. We'll be back. Oh my gosh, we still haven't done anything for Unexpected. We might, at this point, we might as well just do like a mid-season podcast and then the end. Because at this point, we're so far behind. But we're definitely going to do something for Unexpected. I know that there are some people from the show that reached out that wanted to talk about it with us. So we're going to do something. So probably like a mid-season and then an end of season, we'll do like two of them, hopefully.
So all right. I just got to remind you that my grandbaby's coming this month. So there might be a spot where I'm out, and I hope it's not during the tell-all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is way more important. Your grandbaby is way more important.
Absolutely, but I mean, if it's during the tell-all, I'll figure out how to podcast from the hospital.
there might be a strong Wi-Fi connection, right? You might be able to pull it off, because I do know from when my sister is in labor, it can take 6, 7, 8 hours. So you could possibly still make it happen without missing what's important. But I don't expect you to be here, because I know that this drama, this is nothing to do with the amazing things going on in your life.
Oh, absolutely.
So I know.
It'll be wonderful, but I still gotta be there for the tell-all.
It'll be weird if you weren't, right?
It'll be totally weird.
All right, guys, make sure you're following Cara. I'm gonna tag her in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Thank you for joining us. Happy 4th of July, which is not tomorrow, but the next day. So everybody have an amazing Independence Day. Happy Canada Day if you're from Canada. That was yesterday. Thank you for joining us. Everybody have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to you really soon.
Bye.
Bye.